Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 24 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 147. Today, JR asks, thoughts on incorporating the 16 personality types of the Myers-Briggs test? Do you like them? Use them? Slice open your vein and lay out your process of characterization.
Well, the Myers-Briggs test types are fine. I don't have much of an opinion on them. They're a good sort of very, very rough way to deal with basic personality types. They're fine insofar as they go. Do I like them? I don't find them particularly useful for writing. I know a lot of writers that do. My process of characterization is very organic. I keep myself fed very thoroughly on history and abnormal psychology and primary source cultural research and that sort of thing. I don't read a lot of social psychology because it's largely bullshit. But in terms of the rest of it, my academic background is in cognitive psychology, though I've got a thorough background in Freudianism as well. And I work from what I know and understand about people. People watching is the best way to build up a characterization library. Having a decent understanding of psychology can help, too. It can help, for example, save you from some of the problems that Stephen King has, where Stephen King's characterizations are frequently impossible, even though he's very good at making them plausible and frightening and interesting. The character of Annie Wilkes, for example, is a borderline personality and a psychopath and a narcissist. And you can't get those three together. Neurologically speaking, it doesn't work. You can have a narcissist who's also a psychopath. You can have a narcissist who's also a borderline. But you can't have a borderline who's a psychopath because they're almost exactly opposite neurological traits. And Stephen King does that sort of stuff a lot, which is why I have trouble reading him, even though he tells fantastic stories and he's a wonderful writer. So if you don't have any psychological background, you can commit errors like that. But then again, you know, look at Stephen King's sales numbers. I don't think those errors are really hurting him all that much. Watching the way people behave is your best way to learn about characterization. Observe people's responses to stimuli, observe their motives, figure out how they tick inside. Make it your passion in life or one of your passions in life. You can learn a lot about people. And the more you understand about people, the more automatic and transparent the characterization process becomes. I have never actually worked up a character sheet in my life. Back when I was using scaffolding, what I would usually do would be to have one or two songs. The songs are great for describing characters, and I used to make up soundtracks for my characters, so I have one of my favorite characters of all time, for example, is based on the U2 song Discotheque, which describes someone who's just so into dancing that they forget to live their lives. But the way they describe it, it could also very well describe someone who's desperately trying to do anything to find meaning in life except the one thing she knows will work. And so I wrote one of my favorite characters based on that song, and I used to do a lot of characterizations directly from popular songs that caught my interest, because so many songs describe dysfunctional people, and they do it with great aplomb, and they make great launching points. I don't even do that very much anymore. I've done enough books that I tend to start with an image of a character, or maybe just an attitude of a character, and build out from there as the situations present themselves in the story. And if I feel like the character is acting too much like me, I will take a few steps back and take another run at the character and deliberately tweak their reactions going a different direction so that the character definitely isn't me. Occasionally I've based characters on friends, down from 10, the entire book is filled with characters that are based on friends. Sometimes I just pull characters completely out of my head. Sometimes I take somebody I know and run them through the insane factory to make a good character. Suave Rob is that kind of person. Based on the combination of someone I sat on a wave with one day and a fan of mine that was a really fantastic conversationalist, I took those two people, smashed them together in my head, and ran them through an insane-o-matic and came up with this crazy Gonzo character that I have way too much fun writing. So that's kind of how I do things. I riff, I improvise, and I just keep my brain well-stocked with fresh learning all the time about culture and psychology and neurology and cognition, because that's what people are made of. And also, poetry. People are also made of poetry. And you can find expressions of the very difficult to quantify aspects of human nature in poetry that you can't find anywhere else. And really good poetry, whether it's in the form of prose or in the form of a song or in the form of an actual poem, can take you places and make you think about different sorts of characters that would never occur to you in regular life, sorts of people that you would never run across even if you traveled the world widely and embedded yourself in all the cultures you found. So drink deeply from the fount of learning and the fount of culture, and use the Myers-Briggs types if they suit you. Just keep in mind that people are not widgets. One of the dangers I've seen with Myers-Briggs typing is that writers who use the Myers-Briggs typing tend to be very rigid about it, and so they wind up only having 16 characters, or 16 characters that are then painted on in different colors, whether it's the color of their skin or their ethnic background or their religion or whatnot. Myers-Briggs is a good sort of baseline thing for getting to a large class of things, but every person is different, infinitely unique, and has a texture and flavor all their own, and they will not always behave to type. And what their type does is not obvious from reading the description. The descriptions in Myers-Briggs generally deal with normal life. People react differently on the battlefield. People react differently in the death camps. And people react differently under extremists in all sorts of ways. And the Myers-Briggs types also don't take into account abnormal psychology, which happens in spectrums in almost every disorder class and takes your basic types and smears them all over the wall. It can be a really good starting point, but do not slavishly adhere to them. Pay attention to how complicated real people are, and try to incorporate that into the way that you write your characters. I think you'll find it very effective and rewarding. Or at least I do. People are fascinating things. It's also good to pay attention to people as a writer, because people are the people that are going to be reading your books. So understanding as much as you can about how humans react to things in different circumstances starts to give you access to a set of writing tools that you can use for controlling your audience that are really fantastic and subtle and difficult to use, but really open up story spaces for you in a way that nothing else does. I hope that helps, and I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.